We are on a journey in life. And journeying is one of the themes, is our theme this Lenten season. It's a theme for us because we remember in these few weeks that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem and journeyed toward the cross and to his own death for our sake. It is a theme for us as well as we reflect on Henry Nouwen's words from Fear to Love. The sense that we are all journeying in our own lives towards our true home, into God's presence. We are journeying towards the Father who not only greets us with open arms but runs towards us when he sees us turn toward him. We are on this journey like Abraham and Sarah, like Jesus. And they have something we can learn about trusting in God through the journey of life. I'm told that George Baxter, who was the minister here for over 20 years, often preached on the journey of life. I think I can say that. John Headland was one of the young people who grew up under George Baxter. And he told me, oh yeah, that was George Baxter always preached on the journey of life. I remember coming home once with my dad. Mom had missed the service. She said, what was the sermon on? And my dad said, oh, the journey of life. a clear message that he was remembered for, that we are loved by God. For many of us, perhaps it is strange to call life a journey. We live in one place. We maybe have a fixed address. Our life maybe consists of many routines. Perhaps we have no thoughts of ever leaving this one place where we live. Abraham and Sarah were on a journey. God had called them from Ur and Haran, which are around where modern-day Kuwait and southern Iraq are found today. God said, leave your country, your family, your home, and go to this land that I will show you. The land that God was leading them to was where modern-day Israel is found. And to get there required a journey, and not straight across. That's a desert. And instead you had to follow where there was water. You had to follow the river courses north, up almost perhaps into modern-day Turkey, and then come down along the coast of the Mediterranean or in the Jordan Valley. It was a long, long journey of many months. Abraham and Sarah left everything and followed God. If you read the whole story, if you have read it and you remember back to it, did they ever arrive? Did they ever receive the promise? To the end, I would suggest they were always living as sojourners. They were always traveling. They were always living on the land of others. They went from one place to another, and in the end were buried on land that they purchased from other people. Jesus was also on a journey. He set his face toward Jerusalem, on a journey toward his death. It's helpful, though, to consider that in the Gospel of John, which we heard read for us this morning, the theme of journey, or journey is the journey to the cross is a part of a larger theme in the Gospel of John. Who is it, though, who is traveling in John's Gospel? It is, first of all, God who is journeying. God who descends to live with us. God who descends to feed us. God who descends to live within us. But humanity is also on the move. Humanity's journey is an ascent into God's presence and into eternal life. But we do not know the way. Jesus does. Because Jesus is God, who came down to live among us and with us. But Jesus is also the human being, the one who had clean hands and a pure heart, and so could ascend into God's very presence on our behalf. We heard these words read for us from John chapter 3, verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And anyone who trusts in him follows him throughout life into God's presence and into new life. So, we are also on a journey if we believe in Jesus. We may have that fixed address. We may have no plans to travel from place to place. And so it may be easy to forget that we are heading somewhere. But whether we forget it or not, whether we are aware of it or not, there is a restlessness deep within all of us, whether we are a Christian or not. There is a sense of dis-ease. We are aware that something is not quite right. Sometimes we have an epiphany and there's a flash, or perhaps even a period of time where we say, this is it. There is a God. God is present. Or something comes together and we think we've got it all figured out. We've arrived. But this sense comes and goes. And perhaps more common for humanity is actually the lack of that sense, the absence of that sense of everything being right. That is because we are on a journey. We are looking for our home with God. We were created to live with God, to be able to see God and to hear God, to know God, especially to know God's love for us. So even the best Christian finds himself still journeying, still searching, further up and further in, as C.S. Lewis put it. But we are also searching for something else. We are searching for new bodies. We have a sense that our bodies and our spirits are not at ease together, that they're not one. We've all experienced knowing what we want and wanting to will one thing and our bodies having very other, different ideas about what was going to happen. We want one thing, but our body would like another. We will to try this one thing and our body lets us down. As we age, perhaps we increasingly experience this. I've heard, and I'm beginning to experience, but I look in the mirror expecting to see a very different face looking back at me. Oh yes, that was a few years ago. I wake up in the morning and think, where am I and what year is it? And I'm ready to get going and I think, oh no, I'm almost 50. I'm not a teenager anymore. We admire athletes for this very reason. What they are able to accomplish is remarkable. For a brief period of time in their 20s, maybe their teens, depending on which sport, they are able to master their body to an incredible degree. They're able to get their body to do things that it's almost hard to believe is possible. We are all looking for bodies that will be truly ours. Bodies that will do what we expect them to do and want the things we expect them to want. Paul puts it this way in the second letter to the Corinthians. We know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal, waiting for us. For this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with this heavenly dwelling. This is something of the real journeys of life that Jesus revealed to us. And Jesus opened the way for us. Or more helpfully, as Jesus puts it, Jesus is the way. The true journey is found by trusting Jesus and believing in him. But how are we to trust him on this journey throughout our life, especially when things go wrong. Things can go wrong in such a way that there's no sign that they will ever change again. And this can last not just days, but years. Things can go wrong in such a way that we know in our heart it can never come back. It can never be changed. God is supposed to be good. Hasn't God promised us to bless us? How do we trust when there's no sign of hope? In Romans 4, which we heard read to us, Paul points to a few helpful things from Abraham and Sarah's journey about their faith. Now, this word faith, what do we think that means? Perhaps when you hear the word faith or belief in God, perhaps we tend to lean towards a sense that what we're talking about is a mental choice that we have to make about what is true. And so belief is, I believe there is a God. Or faith is, I have faith that Jesus existed. But Paul points us towards Abraham and Sarah. And when we look at their life, perhaps a better definition or a better word might be trust. They kept obeying and following God, out of trust. Even when all the evidence around them began to make them doubt, they trusted and followed. To trust is in another person is to have a sense that there is this other person with a will, a presence, someone that you can rely on to act and to speak. It's different than knowing that other person exists. There's a relational component to it in which we expect to give and to receive. Abraham and Sarah trusted in God. And they had been promised something, hadn't they? Abraham had been promised by God, I will make you a great nation. All the families of the earth will be blessed by you. I will give this land to your offspring. Your offspring will be like the dust, the grains of dust, the stars in the sky. But which of these did Abraham and Sarah receive at any point in their life? They did not see a great nation around them. They did not see all the families of the earth being blessed by them. They did not see this land belonging to them and to their children. And their offspring, especially if we are considering the offspring being just the promised son, was one and not like the stars in the sky. If they had stopped trusting at God at any point, if, even though there may have been moments of laughing and questioning, if at that point they had wavered or given up hope, if as they approached death they lost their devotion, would Paul still have said they trusted God? In Romans 4:19, Paul writes, they did not weaken in faith. Paul was obviously a young man when he wrote these next words, very inconsiderate. In fact, he says they looked at their own bodies and they considered them as good as dead. Just a little too blunt, Paul. A little too on the nose. But even when they considered their bodies as good as dead, Paul writes, they did not waver, but they trusted in God. Paul calls us to have that same trust throughout our journey. And all who share this same faith as Abraham and Sarah are the children of Abraham and Sarah. We have been promised God's blessing, but we may not see its fulfillment. We have been promised God's blessing, but we may lose everything. We may find our bodies breaking down and becoming as good as dead. If you are young and just beginning, hear those older than you saying to you, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God, and God will direct your paths. Seek God in every decision you have to make. Trust God. And those of you with many years on your journey already, do not waver, but grow stronger in faith, fully convinced that God is able to do as God has promised. And what reward did Abraham and Sarah receive for their trust? Not children. That promise came before they trusted God. They trusted after they were promised children. What reward did they receive? Not land, not health. In that moment when they trusted God, they were made right with God. Their sins were forgiven. God was with them, and God visited them that day, and as we know, many days throughout their life. This is the greatest gift that we experience in part here, today, and we look forward towards its fulfillment in the world to come. God bless us all and grant us strength on our journey. Amen.